I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the Voice of Hope.
Thank you, men, for that wonderful reminder to praise the Lord. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your Bible teacher for this weekly program. If you're joining us for the first time, we want you to know that this program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel media ministry. We use various technologies to make our Bible teaching programs available to people around the world in English and 21 other languages. Our vision is to use media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. We believe it is vital that people have an opportunity to hear the gospel and to receive God's offer of salvation through Jesus Christ. But we also want to give priority to the words of Jesus when he told us to go and make disciples of all peoples. We believe that salvation, or conversion, is just the first step in the process of becoming a disciple. It is inviting Christ to take control of your life and then allowing His Holy Spirit to transform you from the inside out. And through the prayers and financial support of people like you, we have the privilege of sharing these Bible teaching programs in more than 20 languages around the world. One of those languages is Telugu, in the country of India. Let me share with you a testimony from a listener to our program, Living Hope. He writes, "I have never had peace in my mind since several years. I read so many books and heard so many radio and TV broadcasts. I took all kinds of medicines, allopathic, homeopathic, Ayurvedic, etc., etc., but I didn't find the peace I really needed. When the Word of God came to touch my heart, I enjoyed the peace from Him. I am thrilled about what God has done in my life." Praise God! We are thrilled with this listener that he found lasting peace with God, and his transformed life was made possible through your prayers and financial support.
Let me stand on the hills and the mountains that were built by the hand of the Lord. Let the winds that even bear take my voice.
was lost with no hope, but he found me. I was blind, but he caused me to see. And I had no soul at all till he reached into my soul,
and the touch of his hand set me free. Oh, I've been touched by the hand of the Lord. I've been touched by the hand of the Lord. Where he sends, I will go, for I know, yes, I know, I've been touched by the hand of the Lord.
I've been touched
by the hand of the Lord.
I've been
touched by the hand of the Lord. Where he sends, I will go, for I know, yes, I know, I've been touched by the hand of the Lord.
Thank you, men. Last week on The Voice of Hope, we were studying from Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 7. Our study was titled, Risen with Christ. As we began our study, I said that this portion of Scripture reveals several significant changes that result from our being risen with Christ. Last week, we looked at two of those changes. They were desires and deliberation. If you missed that teaching, it is available to you on our website, heraldsofhope.org, or you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD. It really would be beneficial if you could have access to that teaching. Now, as we resume our study today, I will read the text, Colossians 3 and verses 1 to 7. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. And what's the reason for the command to be thinking on heavenly things? It's because you have died. Think about it. A dead person has no consciousness of or connection to the things of earth. He or she can't be tempted by their favorite dessert, or the ad for an exotic cruise, or a pornographic picture. They can't desire a luxury car or an extravagant house. As believers, you and I are to be separated from the things of the world by virtue of our death and resurrection with Christ. And I know that's not a popular message in today's world, and even in the church. Furthermore, Paul says, your life is hidden or concealed with Christ in God. It's hidden in the sense that your life is with Christ, who is unseen in God. The Expositor's Bible Commentary says, and I'm quoting, with Christ in God asserts Christ's own union with God and emphasizes our union with God in Him. And that's the end of the quote. And so you can see this verse is another refutation of the Gnostic denial of Jesus' deity. He is with God, He is God, and we are in Him. So, what is it that dominates your thoughts on a daily basis? Things from above or things from the earth? Again, reviewing my thoughts of recent weeks and months leaves me feeling convicted and realizing the need to refocus on what really matters. The next change that results from our being risen with Christ is our destiny. Paul says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Is Christ your life? It's true that Jesus sustains our physical life. We can't do that on our own. But that's not what Paul has in mind here. He's talking about resurrection life, eternal life, the life that Christ has given us as the motivating energy and the directive agent of the new kind of life we are to live. And notice with me that this eternal life is not merely something we share with Christ. Our life is in Him. Now, when you are in something, you are surrounded by it, such as being in your house, or being in the water, or in the light. Jesus is the essence, or the nature, the core of this new life. And Paul is fond of using this concept of being in Christ. For example, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he writes, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." When Christ appears, because He is our life, then we also will appear with Him in glory. This must be a reference to the anticipated second coming of Christ. It is then that our real life, our true, redeemed self, will appear without any taint of sin. So we are living in a state of already, but not yet. That is, we're already counted as fully redeemed, but we're actually waiting. But we're actually waiting for the ultimate fulfillment of that reality. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8, Paul warns unbelievers about the judgment that is coming, and then he adds this: "They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might." Now listen. "When He comes on that day to be glorified in His saints, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed." My friend, are you anticipating that glory? J.B. Lightfoot put it so well. Listen to his words. I'm quoting, "The veil which now shrouds your higher life from others will then be withdrawn. The world which now persecutes, despises, and ignores will then be blinded with the dazzling glory of the revelation." That's the end of the quote. Risen with Christ, now in the spiritual sense, we will be risen with Him in a glorified body too. Hallelujah. The Apostle John writes about this in 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 to 6, and he makes the connection between our future destiny and the way it affects our current discipline. He sets the stage for the final change that results from our being risen with Christ. Listen. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." Try it again. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And listen, "And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him." Being raised with Christ changes our destiny, and that leads us to the final change that results from our being risen with Christ. It is our discipline. "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly within you." As you see, there's a tension here. Earlier, Paul said we have already died with Christ, so the dominating power of sin has been broken. And yet you and I continue to live in our mortal bodies with their desires and with minds that are not yet fully focused on the things of heaven. So there's a continued striving to live out the results of being risen with Christ. And this putting to death what is earthly is oftentimes painful. To put something to death is never pleasant. It's not the same as practicing asceticism. Asceticism says that I, by my own will, can subdue the flesh simply by suppressing its desires. A biblical view of self-control says that I can subdue the flesh by relying on the Holy Spirit to empower me to deny its desires. Because of this, Paul says we are to reckon or account the members of our body as dead. That is, we are to deprive them of their power. And here again is part of the metaphor of baptism. This instruction is given as an imperative or a command. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, Paul states the principle like this: "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but rather present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Now, the list of sins in verse 5 deals with sexual practices. These desires are among the strongest we human beings have. And Paul states emphatically that these illicit desires and the practices they produce must be cut off. Fornication or porneia is illicit sexual intercourse. Uncleanness is a broad term, but it's used almost exclusively in the New Testament in the context of sexual sins and all kinds of moral impurities. Passion or pathos means uncontrolled, illegitimate desire, like an inward fire that's kindled in the heart. And then evil desire is the result of the diseased condition of the soul. And you know, all of these sins dishonor those who indulge in them. And then finally, Paul mentions covetousness. Now, often when we think about covetousness, we think about possessions, about material things. So how does covetousness fit with a list? listing of sexual sins? Well, at its root, covetousness is simply a desire for more. A desire that often leads to greed and then on to injustice in the pursuit of what's desired. Someone has said that covetousness is the arrogant assumption that all other people and things exist for my personal benefit. Think about that. That's the root of sexual sins, and this attitude is the main driver behind the multi-billion dollar industry that is pornography. The pursuit of more becomes a consuming addiction. Because of these things, Paul writes, the wrath of God is coming. Now, the wrath of God is often used in an eschatological sense, that is, referring to the final judgment. In Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15, John writes, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." The time is coming when all humanity will face a holy and a righteous judge. In Ephesians 5, 1-3, Paul gives us their correction. In Ephesians 5, 1-3, Paul gives us this counsel: "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints." Sadly, today, too many churches are allowing these things to flourish among their own congregants. That's absolutely contrary to the instructions and commands of Scripture. And make no mistake about it, my friend, the church is paying a price for this. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:30 that because sin is ignored, many are spiritually weak and many have died. The church lacks power and influence because she's becoming so much like the world, she has little or nothing to offer those who are seeking true meaning and purpose in life. Paul reminds the Colossian believers and you and me that while these sexual sins were a natural outgrowth of our past life, Paul reminds the Colossian believers and you and me that these sexual sins were a natural outgrowth of our past lives without Christ. But now that must change. Our path was once circumscribed by these sinful behaviors, but now those things must be put to death. And so I ask you, have you been risen with Christ? If so, how has that changed your life? Have you found your desires changing? Are you finding that the things that were once attractive to your sensual desires are losing some of their appeal? They should be. Are you noticing a change in your deliberations, in your thought patterns? Do you respond differently to temptation? And how do you analyze what is going on around you? Are you pursuing the command to think about the things that are from above? And then what about your destiny? Do you find yourself thinking more about heaven and the things that are eternal? Is Jesus the core or the essence of your life? Is he sitting, as it were, on the throne of your heart? Are you looking for his return? Are you anticipating your eventual release from the bondage of sin into the glorious liberty of the children of God? What a wonderful prospect for each of us who know Jesus personally. And finally, has being raised with Christ brought about a change in your lifestyle? As a disciple of Jesus, are you attempting to live a disciplined life? No, not through fleshly willpower, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see how the terms of disciple and discipline are related, don't you? And no one ever said that these changes would be either automatic or easy. Because if that were the case, then there would be no need for discipline. What conscious choices are you making each day to give evidence that you are truly risen with Christ? I invite you to join me today in asking God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to continue developing these changes in my life. Will you join me?
Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. Open the wells of grace and salvation, pour the restraining streams deep into my heart. Cleanse and refine my thought and affection. Seal me and make me pure as thou art. Yet to the world would I be a father, yet unto sin streams deep into my heart. Cleanse and refine my thought and affection. Seal me and make me pure as thou art.
My friend, I hope this teaching has blessed you. If you'd like a copy of the complete teaching on this text, it's available either in print or on an audio CD. You can request your CD or printed copy of this complete teaching, Risen with Christ, by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, You can request a copy of the teaching titled Risen with Christ, either in print or on an audio CD. To review today's program or to listen to previous broadcasts, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen at your convenience. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Once again, you may contact us by email at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 and ask for your copy of the teaching, Risen with Christ. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again,
against my lad Satan's rage and face of